So we constantly want to remember what Jesus has done for us and who we are in Him and who it is for who we live for. Let's begin this morning and let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Now in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus gave what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It says He went up on a mount and sat down and gave a sermon. At another time, He gave in Luke the Sermon on the Plain. It said He went down from the mountain into the plain and gave a sermon. Now in these sermons, there was many things He said that were the same, many things that were different, but we can compare the two and we can get a full picture of Jesus' teachings. I'm sure He gave this sermon or some like it many places. The Bible says if you'd write down all the things that Jesus said and did, the whole world couldn't contain all that stuff. And so we can go back and forth. They're different sermons, but we can see a lot of the things that He taught when He was here on earth. And in Matthew chapter 5, we're going to begin in verse 21. Jesus gave about six things where He said, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, such and such, but I say unto you this." And so let's look at those things you have heard that it was said, right here, beginning in verse 21. "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill." Go down to verse 22. "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment." So, and he goes on and says that, but first of all, he said, the commandment is this, "You've heard that it was said, thou shalt not kill." Where was that at? The Ten Commandments. That's the sixth commandment that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. "Thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, if you're angry with your brother without a cause," it goes to the heart. Now, we can be angry and want to kill somebody, and we don't. By the old law, by the Old Testament, we're fine. As long as we haven't physically killed somebody, we're fine. But Jesus said in your heart, if you're angry with your brother, if you want to kill somebody, if you're calling them names, saying raca to them, and you're saying thou fool, those kind of things are just as bad. That you're in danger of judgment. So Jesus said, you've heard that it was said this, but I say unto you this. And Jesus' teaching, if we're looking at keeping it, is a lot harder. I don't believe we have any murderers here that have actually physically killed somebody, but we have probably all been angry with somebody without a cause. We've hated, we've seethed in our heart. And so Jesus brought on this, I say unto you, this newer commandment here that is harder. Look down in verse 27. "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery." The physical act of adultery. That was the law. That was commandment number 7. "But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her in his heart." So now, it's not only the physical act, but it's if you would look after a woman to lust after her, now you're committing adultery with her in his heart. Again, Jesus took it from the actual physical act and saying this, which we can keep easier than this other one where it's your heart, it's your thoughts, it's your mind that God wants. And so we can see the old law and we see the New Testament, the new covenant that Jesus Christ brought in. Look at verse 31. "It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement." In the Old Testament time, the men could pretty much divorce their wives kind of just for any reason. And Jesus said that God gave them that because of the hardness of their hearts. But Jesus said, "I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery." So He takes it a step further and looks at that behind it, not just because of the hardness of their hearts, this simple law, but goes deeper into this. Look at verse 33. "Again ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths." And so you could swear unto God, but you don't swear on yourself. You swear unto God and you do these things. "But I say unto you, swear not at all. Neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, for its footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, thou canst not make it one hair white or black, but let your communication be yea, yea, or nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." So we're not to swear. We're just, if we say yes, we mean yes. We don't have to say yes, I swear I'll do it, I swear by God, all these kind of things. We can just say yes is yes and no is no. Jesus said, added something to it. Let's go to verse 43. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Once again, I mean, it's easy to love those that love you and hate your enemies. Jesus went and made it harder. He made it tougher to keep his law and said, I say to you, we are to love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that use you. Look back at verse 38. Ye have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You know, if Rich hits me, I hit him. If he steals from me, I steal from him. If he crashes my car, I go, you know, bash his car, whatever. Right? We just get them back. Revenge. Right? Whatever they do, I do to them. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. Verse 39. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Now what's easier to keep? The eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, or turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, give him the shirt off your back, you know, give to those that ask of you. I mean, it's a lot different. We can see in all these, Jesus Christ is making it more in our hearts. He's making it more just not keeping an outward appearance. And just from the keeping of these commandments, it's definitely harder to keep Jesus' commandments. Now, I think that we can look at these things in Matthew chapter 5, and some of them seem hard. They seem not doable. And we can try to look at some of these things. Like, let's say, you know, turn the other cheek, or go the extra mile, or love your enemies and pray for them. We say, that's hard. And I think we can, as Christians, we can look at the Bible and we can try to think of ways to get around these things and try to explain them away. And basically by our traditions, by our, you know, ways of looking at the Bible, we can try to make the Word of God, the Word of Jesus Christ, of none effect in our lives. Especially when it's uncomfortable for us. And a lot of these teachings of Jesus here are uncomfortable. They're not easy. But you can see that's the pattern of all these six things that Jesus said. You've heard that it was said this, which was the law. I give you something that was not as easy, that was harder to keep. But this is Jesus Christ, and we're bringing in he brought in a new covenant. And we know that before we kept the law, now we're saved not by keeping the law, we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. And so we can't pick and choose what we want from the old and what we want from the new and try to mix together our religion. We have to take what Jesus Christ said, and we have to apply that to our life and try to be faithful to His Word. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. I wanted to start there in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. And see, the Sermon on the Plain, you'll see a lot of the similarities between what He said, the Sermon on the Mount, to the Sermon on the Plain. Luke chapter 6. We'll start in verse 27. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. The Bible says, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank of ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Will you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your powerful words. Thank you for the sermons that you preached that were recorded through your Holy Spirit by faithful men that wrote down your words so that we can hear this sermon right now and we can see where your heart was at. We can see what you desire in us as believers, as followers of you, as those that hear you and listen to you and know your voice. Lord, help us to do that this morning. Help us to examine our lives to see if we are hearing and listening and following your words, and where we can, where we fall short. Lord, help us not to just turn another ear, not to just turn a deaf ear to this and to turn and walk away, but Lord, help us to live as you live. As disciples of you, help us to learn from your example and to live life as you live. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I was, I can't remember if I was kindergarten or first grade, I was in the front. As we got older, you get to move to the back of the bus. That's where the old kids sat in the back. And like my last 4 years, I sat in the single seat in the back. So I mean, I was the king of that bus. But when you're kindergarten, first grade, I know I was up at the front of the bus. That's where the little kids were at. And there was a kid, Matthew Anderson. And he was, I thought he was big. He was a year older than I was. And I don't know what he was doing. If he was punching me, what he was doing. But I went and told my parents what he was doing. And Dad said, well, you need to turn around and just pop it. You know, just nail him in the face. And I was like, okay. I didn't really want to. But then he started messing with me again. I turned around and punched him. And he left me alone the rest of the time. Right? I mean, it worked excellent. And so that's kind of, I mean, that most people across the world, even people that would be, you know, call themselves Christian, would say, yeah, just give him a good pop, hit him, and, you know, stand up for yourself a little bit. Don't turn the other cheek there and those kind of things. And so I did that. And that's really what I feel like is we feel comfortable with the eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. These kind of teachings that Jesus is saying here, turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, lend to people and just let them have it and don't ask for it back. I mean, these things are uncomfortable. And that's what I was saying, that when we come to uncomfortable teachings that go against what we like to do, we can tend to try to rationalize them or tend to try to explain them away or tend to try to, you know, come up with something that so we don't have to do what we think it probably says, but we can convince ourselves it doesn't say. So I want to look at this morning and try to truly get at what this meaning is. And each of us needs to examine for ourselves the scriptures. Each of us needs to study and show yourself approved and take what I say, what you hear anywhere from any teacher and see whether it is the truth. But here in Luke, he says, I say unto you which hear. And we want to be people that hear Jesus Christ. We don't want to turn a deaf ear to Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying this to people that hear. And this, we know it's at least the second time that he said this. He said Sermon on the Mount, he said it Sermon on the Plain. He probably, a lot of places, preached this message or a variation of this message about loving your enemies. And that's something that's very, almost exclusively Christian, loving your enemies. That's why Christianity was spit upon. It was hated by the Romans and by the Greek, you know, the people that had the Greek mindset there, because Christianity was a religion that's for the weak, it's for the timid. They're not fighting for themselves. They're not standing up and being a man. And that could be in our culture today too. You know, we celebrate the person that stands up and is tough and has a backbone and stands up for their rights and does these kind of things. And that doesn't seem to be what this message is saying. It's turning the other cheek. It's giving to people that ask and not having it give back to you. And having enemies that are treating you bad and you're praying for them. And you're blessing them and you're doing these things. It seems to be a message of weakness. But I say that it's God and Jesus Christ lived this. It's a message of strength. It's weak to do the other. But let's examine this to see. Because we do not want to become what it says in Luke 6:46. He gave this message, no doubt, many times. And still, he probably saw people there that were his disciples, that were followers of his, and they did not live out what he was saying. And so he says in verse 46 of Luke chapter 6, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So there at that time, there were people that could hear him preach in the flesh. He's given this message, but it's so tough. It's so contrary to what we grow up with. It's so contrary to what we think in our flesh. And so they'd hear him say, and they'd call him Lord, but they wouldn't do the things that he said. He said, why call you me that? Why are you calling me Lord? And so we don't want him to say that to us when we meet him in heaven, when he's sitting on that throne and he's judging us. And he said, why you called me Lord and you did not do the things that I said? So we want to know what he says and we want to do what he says. Now, if we go back to Matthew, let's go to those Sermon on the Mount, Matthew. And just look at a few of the things. You read the different ideas, and these have been around for hundreds of years, on what does this mean to turn the other cheek? What does it mean to go the second mile? What does these things mean? And there have been a lot of different ideas on these things. Some people would say that these teachings in Matthew 5 through 7, they're not for us now. We don't have to listen to Jesus now, right? We don't have to obey that. That's for the millennial kingdom. That's for when he comes back and he'll reign on earth. That's when those principles will be in effect. But Jesus, right then, to the very people, said, "Why call you me Lord and not do the things I say?" I mean, Jesus didn't ever say, this is for a future time. I'm going to give you these things, but you can ignore them. I mean, so I think we could throw that out. Another teaching is that this is for how we, inside the church. Amongst believers, we live this, but amongst unbelievers, we live according to the secular rules. We stand up for ourselves. We fight. If somebody comes, we do not live out these things. But I mean, this is specifically talking about people, enemies, that hate you and persecute you. I mean, it's specifically talking about those outside the church. Probably the most common thing that when you read about this, try to figure out what are people saying about these, you know, turn the other cheek. Come to verse 38 in Matthew chapter 5. It says, "You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also." Almost everywhere you look, they'll have this explanation of what this means to turn the other cheek. They say, Jesus said, if somebody smites you on the right cheek, and now the left hand was considered unclean in those days, and most people are right-handed anyway. So if somebody's going to smite you on the cheek, they would use their right hand. And if they were going to smite you on the right cheek, they would have to backhand you across the face, which is like an insult. It's not like a threat to you. It's not I'm going to kill you. It's an insult. It's not a huge thing, but it's an insult to you. And so that's the first thing, is that Jesus is talking about insults, not talking about a threat to your life. But the second thing they would say is that in that culture, to backhand somebody is what you did to people that were your inferiors, maybe to a slave or to a woman at that time of these things. You would backhand. And so to receive a backhand slap, which is slapping you on the right cheek, would mean an insult and that you're not equal with this person. And the teaching here is that Jesus said to turn the other cheek, which means you would turn to them your left cheek. And now what choice do they have but to slap you with their forehand, which is a sign. The only way they would fight this way would be if it's your equal. And so you basically are standing up for yourself and saying, I am your equal, and giving them an opportunity, making them make the decision if they're going to treat you as an equal. And so you basically have won that conflict. And now that sounds to me far-fetched, but that is really the number one explanation I see for this, is that this is like the teaching that Martin Luther King Jr., you know, it's a non-resistance that's really militant, that Mahatma Gandhi, and these are ways to get equality through non-resistance. And so it's really about winning your independence. It's really about winning these things. And so they turn this message, which at first glance sounds like it's turn the other cheek, means that you don't fight back. But they turn it into it's a passive but aggressive form of fighting back. And they would go to this second part. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let them have thy cloak also. So the explanation, and this is a common explanation, is that if somebody takes your coat and you give them their cloak, then you're all of a sudden naked. And at that time, looking upon somebody naked is a shame to the person that looks upon them. So you're actually bringing shame upon that person. And so you're actually hurting them again. So you are getting back at that person for taking your coat. You're giving their cloak, which shames them. And so it's another passive, aggressive way to get back at them. And to go the second mile. You know, if a car dealership says, we'll go the second mile for you, that means they're going to go above and beyond. They're not trying to get back at you. But the common interpretation of this is that the Roman soldiers, they could pelt any commoner along the side of the road, carry my stuff. And you have to carry it. By law, you had to carry it. But there was a law on the Roman soldiers, or so they say, that they could only make them carry it a mile. And if the Roman soldier made somebody carry their stuff more than a mile, they were liable to get in trouble. And so this is a way, by taking their stuff and carrying it the second mile, you're actually causing them almost to get in trouble. And so again, you're putting them in an uncomfortable situation, and you're in a way getting back at them, showing that, listen, I'm not going to fight you back, but I'm going to get you back one way or the other. So that's a common way now. To me, I mean, looking at it just from the beginning, in Luke, we can go back to Luke chapter 6. It says, resist not evil, right? That was actually Matthew chapter 10, but resist not evil. The teaching is pretty plain and clear, but it's a teaching that we do not like. And it has to be some of us sitting here today that are saying, I don't like where this is headed. This is not, you know, the type of Christianity that I like. And it's not really the Christianity that we live in, I wouldn't say. Is this turn the other cheek, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you? That's a tough, tough teaching. But as we saw with in Matthew chapter 5, every time Jesus said, I say unto you, that you have heard that it was said this, but I say here, he was introducing a tough, tough teaching. And he was expecting us, we're not saying, well, I won't commit adultery, but that teaching for not looking on a woman to lust, that was for the millennial kingdom. I'm going to lust all I want right now. No. Okay, so these teachings are for now. And they have to be dealt with, and we have to look at these teachings. Let's go back to Luke chapter 6. Verse 27. Jesus said, Luke chapter 6, verse 27, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. So you're being used. You're being treated. They're your enemy. They're persecuting you. They're hating. They're doing things to you. And instead of us getting back at them, instead of us getting revenge at them, instead of us doing whatever they do to us, we do it back. If they're going to, you know, I can see an enemy come by and they graffiti our house. We go graffiti their house. You know, these kind of things. That's the way we do it in our flesh. But Jesus said, no, we should instead love them. And we've talked a lot about love. And that love is not just a feeling, but it's a love of action. It's a love that has results. Jesus Christ so loved, God so loved the church that he gave. He didn't just love us and just think about it. He actually did something. He gave his only begotten son. And so we are to love them. We're to pray for them. We're to do good to them. We're to bless them. They curse us, we bless them. I mean, this, and it never in here says that it's so we can get back at them and passively, aggressively get them. We are just loving them, showing the love of Jesus Christ. In verse 29, and unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. And so in that same passage, in the same respect, somebody, you know, curses you, you bless them. Somebody smites you on one cheek, you don't fight back. Somebody takes your coat, you give them your cloak. Somebody does evil unto you, they hate you, you do good unto them. That's the teaching, and I think it's simple enough for, you know, a four-year-old to understand what that means. It's simple to understand, it's hard to implement. And I think this goes, I have really not had a time in my life that somebody slapped me across the cheek and I had to really decide whether to turn the other cheek. Or that somebody sued me for my coat and I decide whether to give them a cloak. But every day I think we come up to conflict, to fighting, to brawling, you know, to these kind of things. I mean, within our marriages we have that. I could say to my wife something that's mean, that's not right. And she has a choice right there whether she's going to turn the other cheek or whether she's going to come right back at me. So I don't think it's just talking about, you know, hitting somebody with our fist. Or slapping somebody. This, every day, we have a chance to live this out and to love those and to pray for those and to bless those that hate us and persecute us and do evil unto us and say bad things at us. We can turn the other cheek. We can do these things. And so this is not a principle that, well, I don't have to live that. I don't ever deal with those issues. We deal with it all the time. There's conflict in our lives daily. Children, constantly, unless our family's the only one, the kids have conflicts. Right? And they'll do something to one another. And every child, you have a decision right there to make. Do I do what my Lord, my Father in heaven, what Jesus Christ, my Lord, says to do? Or do I retaliate? Right? Let's go to 1 Peter 3, verse 8. At work, I mean, there are going to be co-workers, there's going to be bosses, there's going to be people that are going to say stuff. It's going to be mean. It's going to be hateful. We have a decision to make right then. What are we going to do? I think the teaching's clear what Jesus would have us do. And it's not come back at them and one-up them and get them back. I think the teaching is clear that we're to absorb that and pray for them. We're to absorb those things and love them and do good to them and pray for them. 1 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9 says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, Love as brethren, be pitiful, have pity on other people, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Somebody does evil to us, we're not to do evil back. Somebody rails against us, we don't rail back. But contrarywise, blessing. So somebody does evil to us, we bless them. We'll do something good. Somebody rails against us and just chews us out, we bless them. Again, it's not hard to understand what that means. That is a hard thing to live out, because somebody starts railing on you, your blood starts to boil, your heart starts to pump, and you know that they're a hypocrite for what they're saying, and you can get them back and you can say this and this and this, and you can put them in their place. But the Bible says, contrarywise, we're to render blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called. That's what we're called to do as Christians. Jesus Christ gave that here on the Sermon on the Plain, and that ye should inherit a blessing. We have treasures, we have rewards that they know not of. Treasures and rewards that are not seen on earth here, but are then in heaven. That's who we serve, and that's what we're trying to lay up, our rewards in heaven. And we get those by obeying our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says, dearly beloved. Well, let's go start with verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Same message again. We heard it from Peter, we hear it from Paul, we hear it from Christ over and over. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself. Don't go get revenge for yourself, but give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. God is the one that will avenge. God is the one that will revenge. God is the one that will judge every single thing that's done on earth. God is the infallible judge. He's the righteous judge of all the earth, and he will do right. We don't have to take things into our own hands, because we have faith, we have trust in God, that he will do what's right. And so we do not need to avenge or revenge ourselves. God is the avenger. God is the one that will repay. And God will repay us for the actions we do in faith and obedience to him as well. And so we seriously are living under a different set of rules, a different master than the rest of the world, a different set of rules, a different master than who we were before Christ. And why would we call him Lord, Lord, and do not the things which he say? Let's go back to Luke chapter 6. Verse 30, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Luke chapter 6, verse 30. And the Bible gives rules then amongst Christians that if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. There are rules that a family should provide for their own before they put their elderly in the care of the church. There's rules given to some of this, but the general rule is to give. Not be worried about, well, what am I going to do if I lose this, if I don't have this possession, if I don't have this money? We give. If somebody takes away your goods, they don't return them, don't ask for them again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. So that's the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Whatever it is you would like, how you want to be treated, how you would like to be treated, you do that to them. I mean, that's what we teach children from little on up. But so somebody, they rail against you. They're saying all kinds of manner of bad things about you, gossip, things that are lies against you. We could come right back at them and we could give it to them. But how do we want them to treat us? We want them to say nice things, do nice things for us, care about us. So if that's the way we want them to treat us, that's what we should do to them. So in every situation, everything that we do should be the way we want to be treated. We don't have to get revenge. We don't have to say, well, if I do that, then they've done all these things, and if I do that, it's just like being a doormat. No, God will avenge. God will repay. That's where our faith and trust in our Lord and Savior comes in. Okay? And we want to pray for them, because we don't want them to have to pay for those sins. We want to pray for them that they come to Jesus Christ. Because God knows and we know the sins that we have committed in our life. God knows and we know how much he has forgiven us. And we don't want to be like, that debtor that got everything forgiven and then he went out and some guy owed him a little bit and he put him in jail. And they had no compassion on somebody else. We can have compassion. We can have mercy. As it says in verse 36, be ye therefore merciful as your Father in heaven is also merciful. And praise the Lord that he's merciful to us. Moving on. So in verse 31, we should do to men As ye would that men should do to you, do also ye to thee, to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them that do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. So, we could just think hypothetically a gang in the inner city, you know, people that would have no trouble going through in cars, shooting through windows at homes and killing kids and drive-by shootings and whatever. They don't care, right? They don't care about life. They don't care about others. But amongst their own gang, they would do nice to them. They would love them. They would do loving things and they would die for them. That's what Jesus is saying. What sinners also love sinners. What you're not any different than them. People always love those that love them. In this world, we want to be loved. We want people to care about us. We want good things to happen. And so we realize pretty early that we have to do things to others to be loved. And so a selfish, you know, non-Christian type of love is to love those so they can love us back. But it's all really a selfish motive. Right? And we love those in our group, those that love us and those that we care about, and we talk bad about this group. That's comfortable for us. But Jesus said, if you just love those that love them, what thank have you? That's like anybody does. I remember that when I was growing up, Bobby Knight, the coach of the Indiana Hoosiers, I read a book called Season on the Brink, and he was my favorite coach. I love this guy. Okay, and he would just berate, he'd just cuss out kids and just berate them, and he's crazy. He's the guy that threw the chairs and did all this stuff. And I wanted to be like Bobby Knight. And he would, and the thing about Bobby Knight was he would treat these athletes just, you know, terrible and all this stuff. But everybody would say, once you graduated from Indiana, once you went through it, he'd do anything for you. If you're one of his, you know, he'll do anything for you. He'll fight for you. But that's the kind of the love of the world, that if you can treat people, but if you're in this inner group, if you're one of ours, we'll do whatever it is for you. That's the love that the world has. If you play good for me, if you know, go through these 4 years and do good, if you make it through all this, then we're close and I'll get you a job here and I'll do all these things. I'm with you. But that's you scratch my back, I scratch yours. That's what the world does. We are called to love people that hate us, to love people that in no way we can ever see possibly that they would ever do anything good for us. What's our motive for that? I think we have our motive in that our Lord and Savior did that. And as disciples, we talked about the other week, disciples are those that follow and imitate and do what their master says. And that's exactly what he did. We remember he was on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. When he was slapped across, he said, prophesy, tell me who slapped you. Jesus didn't turn around and slug one of those guys that was there slapping him. Jesus lived out what he said, and we as disciples of him are to live out what he said. It says in verse 34, if you lend to them of whom you have hope to receive, what thank of you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. I mean, banks lend to people so they can get money. We could lend to people, you know, thinking it's back, but this is called lending and saying we might never get it back. Now, as Christians, we should not borrow and not repay. But if we're lending to somebody as the lender, we can lend and not even think about it coming back. Because our reward is not here on earth. Our rewards are not having money and having stuff. Our rewards, if our heart is in heaven, our treasure's in heaven, that's where our rewards are in heaven, things that are eternal. And so here we can lend to those, even those that we expect nothing to get back from. So it says in verse 35, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And so in a way, and this is where it feels different, because as a Christian, we want to be totally unselfish, but the Bible constantly points us to a reward, but it's not an earthly reward. It's a reward in heaven. So in a way, we are laying up treasures in heaven when we do these things. We're doing it for Christ's sake. We're doing it so people can see the love of Christ through us. People can see that Christ in us makes a huge difference in our lives in the way we react to a normal, common, everyday situation where somebody comes at us. But in doing these things, we're glorifying God on earth, but we're also laying up rewards in heaven. Because it says, your reward shall be great. Because Jesus knows how hard this is. This isn't, Jesus came down in the flesh just like us. He knows all the struggles that we go through, yet he was without sin. But Jesus knows this is a hard teaching, and so our reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. Who's the highest? That's God. We shall be children of God. makes you think that to be children of God, we need to be doing these things. That we shouldn't call Him Lord, Lord, and not do the things that He said. As children of His, as followers, as disciples, we want to do what He says. Because God Himself, it says, for He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. And such were some of us. All of us. And still, if we would keep track, if we would have that heavenly, you know, track of all our life, how many times God blesses us, God does good to us, God is kind to us, and we're unthankful. God does these things and we use it for evil. I mean, we still fail in that respect, but God has mercy on us. We want to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. We want to be like God. We want to be like Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh and gave us that example. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. And praise the Lord, He has mercy on us, because we have all sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. God is rightly, He is right if He would just throw us all into the lake of fire. He is within His rights, because we knew the law, we know what's right, and we willingly disobey Him. And we willingly thumb our nose at His law. We willingly sin and sin and sin again. But God, praise the Lord, is merciful. That means you have the right, you know, to exact revenge. You have the right to inflict punishment, but you don't. That's mercy. And we are to be merciful as well. Even though somebody smites us on the right cheek, we may think in this land we have the right to retaliate, but we can show mercy. Somebody tells us to go a mile, we could retaliate, but we have a right. We can show mercy. We can do good to those that hate us. We can pray for them that use us. And if we look at that teaching, that's a hard teaching, we say, well, that's pretty radical. That's not the way that I feel like living. That's not the way that the rest of the world lives. Even other churches, you know, other people in church, they don't live that way. I see them fighting and arguing. How can I do that? I'm just going to be a doormat. Do we see the example in Scripture? In the Old Testament, we see people fighting. We see people standing up. In the New Testament, when Jesus said, you have heard that it was said this, but I say unto you this. From that teaching on, what do we see in the Bible? We see Jesus, who was beaten, bruised, crown of thorns, slapped, nailed to a cross. He could have fought back. In fact, Peter did. He said, put down your sword, and he healed that ear. So Jesus, what we think this says here in Luke chapter 6, about, you know, not fighting back verbally, physically, not fighting back, what we think it says, Jesus lived that. Where in the Bible do we read that when Paul was beaten with stripes 39 times, where he was thrown out of towns, where he was put in prisons, where he was all these things, where do we read about Paul hitting with a right uppercut or something? We don't read about Paul coming back at these people. We don't read about Peter doing that. We don't read about John doing that. In the Bible, I mean, from the New Covenant, from when Jesus said these words on, we don't read about people that are fighting back, verbally, fighting back, you know, cursing people, fighting back with their fists, fighting back these things. We see them turning the other cheek. We see them willing to, what it looks like the world, be trampled on, knowing that they're laying up treasures in heaven. And we saw what happened with the church when that happened. We saw the church go from, you know, a few followers of Jesus Christ to thousands, to thousands upon thousands, to grow in those first few centuries. The church grew like wildfire, and it was at this time that they were being persecuted. They were being thrown to lions, and we don't hear about Christians in those first two or three centuries that would stand up and fight the Roman soldiers that would come and get them. They would lay down their life for Christ. And it's only in about the middle of 300s when the church and the state, Rome became the Roman church, and it became a huge political thing that we hear about Christians, you know, fighting. And that's really, I mean, for a long time, the church had no power. No power that it had in the early centuries, when it seems like the people were living what Jesus Christ was saying right here. But I think our challenge for us is daily. To me, I mean, if somebody slaps me and those kind of things, we can think about that hypothetically, but day by day, we have a choice with every conflict that comes up in our lives, how we're going to react. We can turn the other cheek, we can go the extra mile, we can give more than they want, we can give the cloak, not just our coat. We can pray for them and bless them and love them and do good to those that are treating us terrible. We have that choice every day because I don't think I'm the only one that happens to. Every one of us has people that treat us that way. Maybe it's our own fault, maybe it's not, but however it is, we can change today and we have a choice every time this happens to obey and do what our Lord says, which is contrary to nature, which is contrary to our flesh, but it's exactly in line with what Jesus said. So my challenge to you today is just what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And if we do this, I think in our marriages, I think our marriage is going to have no conflict. It takes two to fight. Our marriages are going to be better. Our relationships with our children are going to be better. Our relationships at work are going to be better. I mean, this is the way that Jesus Christ said. And if it's not, if they're not better, we're still laying up rewards in heaven. We're still children of God and we're doing what He said. So my encouragement to you is to read these things, look at these things, search the Scriptures. See whether Christ meant what it seems like He's saying He meant. And if that's true, live it. Live it. We bow our heads. Heavenly Father, help us to do the things that You say. Lord, help us to search the Scriptures, Lord, to rightly divide them, to rightly interpret what You have to say. And Lord, when we know what You have to say, Lord, help us not to make up excuses. Help us not to try to ignore it, but help us to do the things that You say. Lord, I pray that we could all handle conflict in our lives differently than we have in the past, differently than an unbeliever would, because we have the pattern, we have the example, and we have the teachings of You, Lord, in the Scriptures. We see how people handled it, how Paul, how Peter, they handled conflict. We see how Your Son, Jesus Christ, handled conflict. So Lord, I pray that we could do those same things, and that we could forego our rights and our pride and our rewards on earth and lay up treasures in heaven. And I pray that we could do this as individual believers. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.